We've been talking about the life and times of Jesus. We've been talking about Jesus going out and ministering. He's been healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, preaching the gospel. He's had many confrontations. He's got the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming at him constantly. Who are you? Why are you doing this? What do you know? You're just a simple carpenter. How do you know these things? They were amazed. Oh, you're doing this by the hand of Beelzebub. You're doing this by the devil's hand. This obviously isn't God because you're not one of us. And then he's got his family coming after him. Jesus, what are you doing? You're causing all kinds of problems. You're stirring things up. Knock it off. And then he's got creation coming after him. They're on the boat and this big windstorm comes up. I mean, these are experienced fishermen. They're like, we're about to die here, Jesus. Don't you even care? Jesus taking a nap because he's so confident in God and knows what he's called to do. He wasn't worried about it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd love to be able to take a nap like that. Just lay down, lay your head down, and go to sleep no matter what's going on around you, what's going on in your life. Yeah, whatever, who cares? I'm good. God's got me. I'd love that. Then, even the demons are resisting Jesus. He says, come out of him, you foul spirit. And they say, no, uh-uh. He says, what's your name? Legion. He says, get out. He said, well, can we go into the pigs? Jesus said to get out. Now they're trying to negotiate. But Jesus, for the sake of the individual, allowed him to go into the pigs. Because it would have been rough for that guy. You know, you've seen the other instances where Jesus cast out the demons and they thrashed and they foamed and they fell as if dead. I don't know how this guy would have taken it with a legion in him. It would have been bad. So God's mercy, he allowed that to happen. So Jesus is going through. All these things have happened. And so here we are, Matthew 10. Turn with me to Matthew 10. You know, he's healed the blind eyes. He's cured lepers. He's even raised the dead. Even raised the dead of one of the Jewish leaders' children. She had died. And he raised her from the dead. So there's notoriety all over the place. Everybody's hearing about his name. And here we are, Matthew 10, verse 1. And then, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus. I don't even know how to say this guy's name. Whatever. You give it a try. Whose surname is Thaddeus, which, yeah, that's that one I got. Good call. Go down to the surname. Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So here's Jesus. He's been going around ministering to all these people, and he calls his 12 disciples together, and he says, listen, I give you authority. I give you authority. Specifically, he says, it gave him power and authority over unclean spirits. He gave him authority over demons. He gave him authority over the unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and disease, all kinds. All kinds is how many? All. All kinds. He didn't say only these kinds. He said all kinds of sickness and disease. And the name of the 12, so they had authority. They were given authority by Jesus, the Son of God, who had come upon this earth with authority, with power, and he said, go. I give you this authority. And he sent them out. Now, this is around I'm guessing somewhere around 1.5 to 2 years of his ministry. So these guys have been with him for a while. They'd seen all this stuff. They'd heard him minister all the time. They watched him multiply the loaves and the fishes. They actually participated in that. But they watched all this. They watched Jesus minister. They watched how he did it. And then Jesus sends them out. Notice Jesus didn't ask them. He didn't say, "Hey guys, you guys feel like you can do this? You feel like guys, you feel ready? You feel competent enough that you can go out and do what I'm doing? Have you got all the secrets down? You know the right inflections and the right mannerisms to do?" He didn't ask them. He said, come here. "I give you authority over unclean spirits, and I give you authority over sickness and disease. Now go and go cast them out. Go do it." And he sent them out with all confidence. He sent them out with all confidence, knowing that God would be there to help them. Let's pick it up in verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles. And do not enter the cities of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper nor money in your belt nor bags for your journey nor 2 tunics nor sandals nor staff, for a workman is worthy of his hire.'" I'm going to stop there, and we're going to go back and talk about some of this. Jesus said, "Don't go to the way of the Gentiles." It wasn't the time of the Gentiles yet. He was there to speak to the house of Israel, his people, his children, those that were by there according to history, according to tradition, according to the will of God. They had become his people. And Jesus went to his people and he said, "Go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead." He said, "But don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans. Go to the Jews." And he said, Don't worry about what you're gonna do. You're gonna go among your people and you're gonna minister. Now, these are people that know of God, and there's certain expectations according to the law that these people need to give to be helpful, to be respectful. According to the law, they're supposed to help one another. They're supposed to provide for one another. And if somebody comes in the name of the Lord, they know that if they bless them, they will be blessed in return. And there's this little thing they called Korban. This is a tradition, Korban. And they say it was dedicated to God. And if something's dedicated to God, that means that if anyone comes in the name of God and needs it, they must give it. Now, they a lot of times use this as a way of manipulating their finances to keep it from other people getting it, you know, within the family. "Oh, well, we need that. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Korban. You can't touch that. That's dedicated to God." So here it is. The people, God's sending out servants, and there's an expectation that those things that they have been promised to provide for the things of God will be there to take care of their people. So Jesus is saying, "Go, don't worry about that." Now, you know that what you do with what you have can be a testimony for you or against you. What you do with your money can be a testimony for you or against you. If I look at your bank account, what is it going to tell me? It's going to tell me a lot about you. It's going to tell me those things are important to you. Those things, and it's going to also tell me things that you're afraid of. Things that you worry about. And those things that you want to promote by how you spend your money. Because it says, Where our heart is, that's where our money goes, or that's where our treasure is. So we take our money and we put it there. I mean, on mine, you'll find a lot of expenditure about gaming, computers and monitors and games, and because I like gaming. I don't get to do it as much as I like to, but I still like it. So I spend money on it. But I also give a lot. I give. Because I know it's important. I know that the things of God are important. And I also know I need to give more. I know that I've been pulling back in it because of fear, because of what's going on in society, because of what's going on in the world. I'm a little hesitant. But do we trust what God has said? I've gotten off topic. Anyway, it happens. So he sent them out. He said, don't worry about how you're going to be taken care of. You go out and do it. I had a point here. There was a point. No, I promise. I had a point here. Okay. I remember where I was now. So we're gonna pick it up in verse 11. So this is, you know, God will take care of us. If we're walking in his kingdom and his righteousness, he said we'll be provided for. And if God has sent us out to go do something, then he will provide for us. Because where God sent us, he provides. Where he sent us, he provides. Where he sent you, he provides. If he sent you to this church, your provision is here. If he sent you to another church, your provision is there. If he sent you to a job, your provision is there. If he's told you to start a business, your provision is there. Verse 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is worthy and stay there until you go out. When you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from the house or the city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than in the day of judgment than for that city. So Jesus is telling us, you know, he's telling them, find someone that's worthy and go and speak to them. And if they won't receive you, here's the principle that you see in this. When you go and speak to somebody and you share the truth of the word, the truth of the gospel, and they don't receive it, then it returns to you. It's not lost. And he says that, you know, if it's not received and you leave and you walk away, then you shake the dust off. You shake the dust off. You know, and I've heard it said this way. This dust is a testimony against you, and you're going to receive judgment because you didn't receive. And I realized, just going through this and mentally thinking through this process, the Holy Spirit pointed out to me, it's like, you know what? It's not my problem. It's not my problem. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm just shake it off. I'm just going to shake it off. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm not going to worry about it. I've done what I'm supposed to do, and now it's up to them and the Holy Ghost. I've spoken the truth. I did the best I could. And now it's up to God to make the rest of it work. You know, it's not about a condemnation. It's not about a judgment. But it's more for us that when we enter into those, it's, I will rethink and rethink and think over and pull it apart, reorganize a conversation I had. And I need to just be like, thank you, Lord. And walk away. I can't change it. I can't change it. I can't. It doesn't matter. It's like sometimes I get up here and I give a message, and when I'm done, I'll rehash it. I'm like, well, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have. I could have said this. I could have said that. And this is like, you know what? God, thank you. I did the best I could. I pray that it ministers to people. I can't change the past. None of us can change the past. If we made a mistake along the way, you can't change it. Shake it off. Just shake it off. And in this, when you've preached with somebody and they just keep refusing, you keep refusing, you know, shake it off. You did the best you could. You said what you said. You spoke the truth. Matthew 28. We're going to skip ahead to the end. We're skipping to the end because it's good. The end is always good. Verse 19. Jesus talking to his disciples. This is his disciples. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus talking to his disciples. I think they say there's about 120. It wasn't just the 12. It was his disciples, those that believed in him. And he says, and he's telling them to go and make disciples, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues, and that if you take up serpents or you drink anything, it will not by any means hurt you. He says, go make disciples. I can show you in all the different places. He says, go. You know, we're supposed to go and proclaim the truth of the gospel. He says, teach them. You know, one of those things that they taught us is to go. That's what's in here. That's what's in the Bible. Is to teach us to go and to preach that which God has. Maybe you don't feel ready, because remember, I told you, Jesus didn't ask the 12, do you feel ready? Are you ready to go? You think you can handle this? He said, go. He had determined it was time to go. And he came to the end and he told him again, go into all the nations. This time it's not just to the Jews, it's everywhere. And also he says, to the disciples, he says, now, you know, I've told you before, don't worry about, you know, taking a bag with you. Or whatever. He says, now take a bag with you. You know, get a sword. Be ready. So don't fall under the foolishness of thinking you can just wander around the world and not worry about, you know, what's going to happen. It's like you need to be doing what God's asking you to do. You better have some pretty strong faith if you're going to do that. I don't. Teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. Maybe you don't feel ready. Maybe you don't feel like you've got anything to share or anything to give. He says, teach them the things that I have taught you. If God has set you free from something, if he set you free from an addiction, if he set you free from depression, if he set you free from wrong thinking, if he set you free from worldly living, you have something to share. You can show them and teach them what God has taught you. If God has healed you, you can tell them that God heals. If you're saved, if Jesus has saved you, then you have something to give. Because you can tell them that Jesus saved you. That he fills your heart with love and compassion. That he never leaves you or forsakes you. That he's always there. That he's leading you and guiding you into truth. If you've sat in a service and you've listened to ministers speak, and something that they said has touched your heart, you have something to share. Because those truths are still there. And we have the Holy Spirit. And it says the Holy Spirit will bring things back to our remembrance, whatsoever things we have need of. Jesus also says, don't worry about what you're going to say. That's a little further on. We'll get to that next week. Don't worry about what you're going to say, because I'll give you what you need to say. And we can trust in that. But God is calling us to go and make disciples, to tell others about Him, about who He is, about what He has done, about how good He is, and how He wants to set them free. It's what He's wanting to do. But you know, it's kind of hard to go out and to minister to people if you don't have a functioning body. You know, let's say you're paralyzed and you can't speak. How are you going to communicate? Jesus is the same way. If His body's paralyzed and won't speak, He can't communicate to the world. We're His body. We are His body. We are the ones that have to step out and be His representation, His body in this world. Jesus wants to heal this world, but He needs a hand to reach out and heal. He wants to speak truth in this world. He needs a voice to speak up and speak the truth. He wants to hold people, but He needs to have the arms to hug them. He wants to help shoulder burdens, but He needs shoulders to carry it on. We are that body. Jesus wants to use us in this world to make a difference. We keep waiting for Jesus, and Jesus is waiting for us. Mark 16, 17 and 18. These signs will follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink any deadly thing and will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs follow those that believe. We need to be believers. We keep, well, God, when are we going to see the signs? Well, when we become believers. Ouch. That's what the Word says. It says that believers, these signs follow believers. And if we believe, then signs will follow us. There, things will happen around us. People will take notice. I mean, it doesn't mean that every one of us is going to have to be bit by a snake to just prove that we're a believer. But miraculous things happen around us because we believe. We believe in a God of breakthrough. We believe in a God who parts the waters. We believe in a God who sends fire from heaven to earth. We believe in a God who breaks down walls. We believe in a God who can sunder a mountain. We believe in a God who can uproot a tree and cast it in the seed by a mere word spoken. We believe in a God who can transform a life in one moment and by one name, the name of Jesus. That's the God we believe in. Well, I don't know if I can do it. You can. You can. If you're saved, if you believe in Jesus, then you've got enough. You don't need any more than that. Now, there is more. Praise God, enter into more. Strive for more. But you don't need more to be a witness. Because a witness speaks what they've seen and what they know. Stand on the, say this, when you sit on the stand in the courthouse and you say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Okay, so tell me, what happened to you? You used to be like this. Well, let me tell you. I was living my life, and it just seemed worthless. It seemed pointless. There seemed to be no point to it. And I was just crying out to God, God, what kind of, I need help. And somebody came to me and told me about Jesus. You know what? And I believe that Jesus is alive today and he lives in my heart because I received him as my Savior. I believe that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that has changed my life. Really? You believe in a guy and that's changed? Yes, absolutely. How did he change your life? Because I believe in him. What do you mean you believe in him and it changed your life? Like I said, somebody told me about him and I believed. But what does that mean? You don't have to convince them, you just have to tell them. Let the Holy Spirit work on them. Let the Holy Spirit work on them. Some of us water, some of us plant, some of us get to take the increase. But it's about us working together, doing the will of God. God is saying, now is the time to be a witness. Now is the time to be a witness. To go out and proclaim the truth of what God has done for you. It's no longer a time to be hiding in the shadows. It's no longer a time to be afraid. Yes, there will be persecutions, but so what? Jesus was persecuted. We'll be persecuted. We're in good company. We speak the truth. And we're simply telling them, this is what God did for me. He can do the same for you. And they can argue all they want, but you can't refute a testimony. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we all have testimonies. In you, we all have testimonies. We all have things that we can share. Lord, help us to not pull back. Help us not to shrink back, but to step out in boldness and tell others of the love that you have done and shown for our lives and what you've done for us and how you've helped us and how you've set us free. Lord, we want to glorify your name. Help us to be good witnesses and help us to glorify your name and help us to bring change in people's lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a happy 4th of July. Have a wonderful week and be blessed.